Tonight, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5. I'm picking up on that verse, and we did this morning, verse number 16, reading the same scripture. I want to try to just review a little bit and then try to pick up a couple of more points I think we need to look at about a spiritual person, and more important our spiritual life than anything else in our lives. It's more important than how the stock market goes or how the economy is. It's our spiritual thing we need to be concerned about, and God help us. That don't mean we don't need to work, don't need to try to take care of things. It don't mean we're not supposed to take care of our family, but it does mean that we're supposed to put God first. Put God first and let other things fall in the rightful place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Bible says, and then all these things will be added unto you. Well, I'm going to preach on that, but anyway, young folk, I appreciate y'all singing tonight. Appreciate your love for the Lord, and I'm glad to see young folk just love God, stay close to God, let God have his way. Let's stand, please. Galatians 5 and 16. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's bow our heads, please, and go to God in prayer. Ask God to help us again here tonight, that he'll guide us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. Lord, the songs have been sung, and surely been a sweet spirit in this place. And Father, I thank you and I praise you, God, for all that you've done already. I praise you, God, for this day and the privilege we've had to be in the house of God, share the word of God. Then again tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us and touch us. I pray the Holy Spirit would so direct our thoughts and our minds that we may have the liberty to preach. And I pray tonight, God, you touch every heart, every life, every individual in this house. I pray the Holy Spirit would do a work and help us, God, that we may grasp what's in the Word of God here and what we're trying to say tonight. I pray you'd help me and help our people. Then, Father, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight be the night the Holy Spirit would finger their mouth in their heart, knock on their door. Lord, they'd realize the fact they need to come to Jesus and be born into the family of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us, and praise your name. Ask you now, rebuke the devil. Every hindering cause, I pray that you take care of tonight. Move in a special way, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we come to preach, I realize the fact how much we need God to help us, and I pray God will help us tonight. And that what I'm trying to say to you today, I pray the Holy Spirit will make it real to you, that you can get a hold of it and get a hold of you. And God will help us all recognize the fact of what a spiritual person is. And I said this morning, I'm not going to try to re-preach that, but I mentioned the fact sometimes we look at the outward and actions and talk about spirituality, And I'm not against that, that's for sure. I say that again tonight. I'm not against, I'm for it. Fact is, I'll egg it on, amen. And amens and praising God and hallelujahs and all that. I like all of it. And when God's in it, I say go to it. Wave your hand, stand up, run if God's in it and do whatever God has for you to do. That's fine. But what I'm trying to say is, the real spiritual person, let's look at it biblically. And what does God say is a spiritual person? And it's not always outward actions, and it's not always what we may mentally think firsthand. I told you and gave you an illustration this morning about someone, and I did that because it stands out in my mind how that was at one time and how that changed all of a sudden and began to go the other direction. A true spiritual person, I believe, will stick with the stuff. Amen. I don't believe they'll be one way one day and one day way the other day. I think they'll stick with the stuff. I'm not saying this now. And somebody asked me a question before church, and we was talking. You may be guilty of some of these things that have been said. You may have messed up after you got saved. But God didn't leave you alone. I guarantee you that. If you ever messed up, God just would not leave you alone. You never can enjoy sin like you once enjoyed sin if you ever really got saved to start with. If you can drink beer and enjoy it just as much as you did before you got saved, say you got saved, you never got saved. Amen. Because I guarantee you the Holy Ghost is grieved when you do that, and he convicts you and he messes with your heart and let you know that you're his, and it'll bother you. You may have messed up. You may have gotten some messes after you got saved, but I promise you the Holy Ghost did not leave you alone. He kept bothering you and bothering you and bothering you. And you repented and got right, or else one thing, you either did that or God sent chastening to you. Amen. Worked on you some way, got your attention, and then you got straightened out and repented. And I said this morning, if you don't do that then, I believe it's such a thing as a sin unto death. A child of God can rebel against God until God said that's enough and take you out of this world. I think I've seen it happen. Amen. I've seen some go out, and I believe God took them out because of rebellion against the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. And so we need to be careful about that. But simply saying to you tonight, I want to be a spiritual person. I desire my heart to be spiritual in my life. And I realize it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. I know that. And that's there. But I said, first of all, there has to be a spiritual birth. If you ever want to be a spiritual person, you got to get spiritually born. You can't be spiritual otherwise. I think some church members have tried being spiritual, and they never got born in the spirit by the Spirit of God. Amen. If you didn't get born by the Spirit of God, you didn't get born in the family of God. Amen. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And you can't worship God in spirit and in truth unless you have a spiritual birth. I'm glad one day God saved me by his marvelous grace. But in that saving me, the Holy Ghost did a work in my heart. He came to me and brought conviction that made it real and got me so messed up. And I got under conviction. I knew there's something going on and reached a point that I had to do something. And I was either going to have to turn my back on God and walk out, or else I was going to have to yield myself and come to him. I was dying inside. I need some help, Brother Mark. You know the feeling. And God got a hold of me. But oh, glory to God. I'm glad the Holy Spirit didn't just convict me and draw me. But thank God when I got to the altar and got to asking God to save me, he did a work on the inside, birthed me in the family of God, baptized me into the body of Christ, and thank God I got up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How did all that happen? Because of a spiritual birth that's real. Amen. Then I talked about this morning, a believer, you believe this Spirit's book, this book right here, the Word of God. We believe that book. Amen. I'm glad for that Word. God gave us his Word, and holy men spake as we moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not just another book. It is the Word of God. And this Word is our help, and we need it every day of our life. And let me not get tied up in that again. Not that it wouldn't be good, but I want to get to something else tonight. But I'm glad for the Spirit's birth. I'm glad for the Spirit's book. I love it. Amen. Thank you if you didn't have a Bible. Think what it'd be like if you didn't have the Word of God. Just think about that. How sad it would be. But then we talked about walking in the Spirit's behavior. And that's just behaving ourselves and doing what God said. Then we read the scripture talking about walking in Spirit. Walking in Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can just turn that right around. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You begin to walk in the flesh, and that's when we get in trouble. But if we walk in the Spirit, and we need to walk in the light as He's in the light, we need to do that. Walking in the Spirit, we will live in obedience to His behavior, and we'll behave ourselves. Amen. I'm glad I can come to church and have a good time, enjoy myself in the house of God. Don't have to go to the honky-tonk somewhere and try to find something. Fact is, Brother Tim came into my office the other day, and he's kind of grinning and said, "Preacher, I thought you might be interested in this." And this lady called up, and she wanted to know if we were interested in her coming to our vacation Bible school and teaching line dancing. I said, in the first place, I don't even know what line dancing is. But if it's got dancing in it, I don't think we want it taught in church. Fact is, we don't need dancing in church, out of church, any other way. Amen. You're welcome. You say, "Oh, preacher, don't you believe?" I remember there was a dancing drunken party when John the Baptist lost his head. Amen. And that's what that crowd winds up doing. Stuff like that against God. Hey, I can tell you right now, I'd rather have young folk up in the choir singing, raising their hand, than dancing and learning how to be graceful. Amen. I said before, I'm saying again, I'd rather see our young folk gawk into heaven. Some people say they've got to teach them how to be graceful, you know, and walk on their tippy toes and all that kind of stuff. And I wouldn't have enough clothes on to wad a shotgun. You young folk don't even know what a shotgun is. That means not enough to cover up. Amen. But anyway, let me say this. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that I'd rather they just gawk on into glory, hallelujah, than learn to be graceful and all that kind of stuff. It's all right for them to be ladies and ladylike and all that, but we don't need the dancing to teach them that. Amen. And you're welcome. You say, "Preacher, you oughtn't." Yeah, I should. Amen. And we need to know that. Hey, young folk, let me tell all of you, the devil will lie to you and tell you it's fun out there on the dance floor and that's a good time and all that stuff. He's a lying to you. Ain't been a many of a girl messed up and started on the dance floor. Amen. Ain't been a young man just got out there on the dance floor and got all messed up. Hey, I'm telling you, you say, "Preacher, y'all," yeah, I should, amen. Because young folk need to know that. That's how it gets started. I'm telling you the truth tonight. I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to see you hurt. I remember, and I've told you the story up in Maryland, and preacher and I stopped in this store, and I got us a snack, and we was talking to young ladies working there and trying to get them to come to revival meeting. They said, "Well, we can't come to that. We're going to dance." And they said, "We're having too much fun. We're to come to church." And we tried to tell them they're going to be a judgment day, be a day they have to meet God, and a day they'd be cast into hell if you don't get saved and born in the family of God. Now, we wasn't mean about it. We wasn't trying to be smart aleck about it. But those two young ladies, nice-looking young ladies, stood there, and they talking about that. My heart broke, Brother Jimmy, because I could just see them throwing their lives away and the devil taking them in life and saying, "I got you hooked. I've got you where I want you. I'm going to ruin your life and take you away from God and mess you up." And that's exactly what the devil does. He'll tell you young folk that, and he'll tell you older folk that. And children, young folk, I'm telling especially young folk and children tonight, and we need to preach to them. We need to help them. They need to hear it, amen. They don't need that kind of stuff. Let them get in the choir and wave their hand. Let them testify the grace of God. Let them get excited about Jesus, amen. Let them go out there and go to school and say, "Let me tell you about what happened to me at church." Let them go to school and say, "Boy, we had a good time at church." Instead of going to school and say, "Boy, we had a time on the dance floor." and start talking about drinking beer. Oh, we snuck out and we got this and we did that. We did the other. Hey, listen, I know how it is. I'm telling you tonight, there's a better way than that. There's a better way. And the best way there is walk with God. Amen. Behave. Walk in the Holy Spirit's leadership. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. Anywhere you go, anything you're going to partake of, if you don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit in it, if he's saying don't do that, don't do that, you better run from him. Amen. If it's okay, if God's in it, he won't convict you. He'll bless you and you can go in with a blessing of God on it. But if it's God, not God's will, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and by the way, we grieve the Holy Spirit for things like that. Amen. And we hinder the Holy Spirit from helping us. And we quench him. And we don't need to do that in church or anywhere else. But let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Well, I got to move to the two things I wanted to say. Doesn't preach 20 minutes. I think, no, 15. Maybe 25. I'm not sure when I started. But it don't make any difference. Amen. I'm enjoying preaching. I like it when there's a little liberty around, amen, and you can preach. And the way God's helping. I want to show you something else here in the Word of God that I think very significant to us about the being spiritual minded, being a spiritual person. We talked about the birth. We talked about the book. We've talked about behaving. But let me talk about obeying the beseeching of the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He'll speak to our hearts. And we sometimes talk about God speaking to us. God's never spoken an audible voice to me. I've never heard the voice of God in that sense. But I know the Holy Spirit on the inside has spoken to my heart. I know him. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad for the beseeching of the Holy Spirit of God. And that he helps us. And Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the most parts of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance and his beseeching us to do that. You remember Philip over there in Acts 8:29? And Philip had been in Samaria in a great revival. And the Holy Spirit led him down to a desert. And then the Bible says the Holy Ghost said unto him, join thyself to his chariot. The Ethiopian eunuch was coming down through there in a chariot. And the Holy Ghost said to him, join yourself to that chariot. In other words, go to it. Let me say to you tonight, I appreciate, and don't get me wrong, I'm just like a shouting praising God part. I appreciate canvassing and knocking on doors and leaving a track. Man, I hope we can reach out miles around this church and every door find a track in it or they'll actually be handed one. I want to cover this area and thickly. I'm all for that. I praise God for that. But I'll tell you the best witnessing you'll ever do is when the Holy Ghost of God gets in your heart and says you need to go see that person or that person or that person and you obey him and he begins to work in the heart of that person you went to. That's the best witnessing that ever is. We can plan out. We can say, won't you go here? Won't you go there? And do this and do the other. But I tell you what we really need is getting down to business praying, asking the Holy Ghost to lay somebody on our heart. And if we don't know some unsaved person, we need to get out and find us one. Amen. And everybody here knows somebody unsaved. Everybody here has got unsaved around them. And we need to pray until God, the Holy Ghost, burdens our heart and says, you need to go. You ever went somewhere? I remember going somewhere. I was as sure that God wanted me to go there as I was. I'm standing in this pulpit right now. And I went on a Saturday. And they wasn't there. And I said, Lord, I believe all my heart you sent me here, but they're not home. And I wrote a note, left it in the door in Rural Retreat, Virginia. The next Sunday morning, the wife showed up at church. She walked down the aisle and got saved. And she said, I appreciated the note. I appreciated you coming by my house. I've been talking to her in a bank. I've been inviting her in the back, but I felt like I needed to go to her house that day so much. I was so disappointed when they wasn't there. But you know what? God knew before I ever went there they wouldn't be there. But the Holy Ghost said, you go there. I tried to obey him, and God gave the results in spite of everything. Amen. I say hallelujah. God honors obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. You never do anything in vain if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it. Amen. And so our witnessing, we need to be led to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't many Sundays later, her husband came and he got saved. It wasn't long ago, they were down here visiting with us. He's a deacon in that church. I say, hallelujah. How did it all start? Because the Holy Ghost laid upon my heart to go to a house one day and just tell them we cared about them, wanted them to come to church, and left them a note. I say, hallelujah. God to bless you and help you. And these many could testify tonight how the Holy Ghost led you to somebody. Brother Jimmy testified Wednesday night about how he felt like he needed to go see that young man at the hospital. Holy Ghost got in it. God was leading him there. God led him there. And God did a work after all of that. Amen. I'm praying about some right now. I'm asking God for the time, the right time, and God to do something. I pray that God Almighty will work in their heart. Hey, I believe God still does that. If we'll let him help us, amen. I want to show you something else. Look with me in Acts 13. Acts chapter number 13. Now verse 1, it talks about the church at Antioch, and there's some prophets and teachers there naming them. And then verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Did you know Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest? A spiritual person is one that will pray, and God will send forth laborers, and God, the Holy Ghost, will get a hold of some hearts and send laborers out of the church. Amen. That's why Brother Bill was in the prison this morning. That's why Brother Kennedy was in the meeting somewhere this morning. Because the Holy Ghost said to go, and they went. God saved 7 people. I say hallelujah and praise God. I'm glad for that. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now notice the next verse. Don't miss this. So they've been sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. And now the men prayed over them, laid their hands on them, and they've been praying and fasting. And the Holy Ghost said, send them out. And so this church was sending them out. But it's the Holy Ghost that went with them, amen, and said, send them out. I'm glad. Hey, listen, we can send missionaries. We can send out, knock on the door. We can do all that. But if the Holy Ghost isn't in it, it's not going to amount to anything. Amen. We need preacher. We don't understand all that because we hadn't got too spiritual, amen. And we need to get more spiritual about this thing and not just in the flesh, but in the spirit. Do work. I do our work for God, amen. Because it's vain without the Spirit of God. You can talk somebody into making a profession, and you can lead a child, make them do something. But if the Holy Ghost isn't in it, God's not going to save them. It takes the Spirit and the power of God to do that. I'm glad the Holy Spirit works in hearts, wants to do it. Amen. Let me give you the last thing tonight, and I pray God will bless it to your heart. A real spiritual person will experience the blessings of the first 4 I've talked about. What is the blessings of it? Look in verse number 22. But, talking about all these things not to do, said they're not going to enter the kingdom of God. But he said in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, it says fruit, not fruits, but fruit, singular. That means this is the fruit of being spiritual. Love. Not just lustful love, but real true love. God kind of love. When you love others. When you love like he loves. Did you know God loved you when you was a dirty, low-down sinner? He loved you when you didn't care about God. He loved you when you didn't care anything about him, but he loved you. I think we all love others. Amen. And that love, I don't have a whole lot of time to spend on any of this, but I want to get some joy. A spiritual person will experience the results of being spiritual by having joy in his life. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus said, these things I've written, these things I want you to do, said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so he's talking about fruit when he's talking about that. And so with joy, we ought to have some joy in our hearts, amen. Some joy. Living for God is a joyful time. And so a spiritual person enjoys joy. Do you enjoy being joyful? If you don't enjoy being joyful, then you need to get your joyfully repaired. Whatever that joyful mechanism is in your life, I know one thing, the Holy Ghost, it makes you have some joy. Love, joy, peace. And this world's crying, peace, peace. There won't be any peace in the world till the peace of, Prince of Peace gets here. But we can have some peace in our hearts. Amen. And God gives us peace with God. When we get saved, we can have the peace of God. Hey, you want some peace in your life? You want to really live your life and have peace when you pillow your head at night? Hey, there's a lot of folk got shook up about this prophecy about yesterday, what's supposed to happen, all that stuff. But I'm glad I can pillow my head every night and have peace of God and knowing that Jesus may come at night. Hey, may be a terrible earthquake that night. Hey, may come a hurricane through that night. Hey, may be a tornado that night. But I'm pillowing my head and say it's all right because I have peace of God in my heart. Amen. Glory to God and the Lamb. You say, preacher, I'd like to have peace like that. I can tell you how to get it. Come to Jesus and let him save you by his marvelous grace. And you can have some peace like that as a result of then long suffering. If you wanted to, you could try to identify that word by turning it around backwards. It's two words, long suffering. It means suffering long. It means that you bear with people. And it means that we don't get offended so easily. And we don't let things bother us so much that we suffer long with it. And let God work in hearts and life. Let God have his way. Let God do what he wants to do. Gentleness, and you could use the word gentleman. If you say somebody's a gentleman, you know what they've done? They've opened the door for somebody. Or they've done some kind deed for somebody. And people say, that's a gentleman. And this world, that don't cover all that word means, but it's a beginning of what that word means. It means being kind and considerate of others and going out of your way to help somebody else. That's what it means. And then goodness. And we realize the fact in this flesh dwells no thing that's good, but the Holy Spirit's good that's within us. And goodness is God's goodness, and that's the only goodness we got. And so we let that goodness flow out. Faith, thank God for faith. That's another result. I know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We're going to pray for somebody. Let's pray in faith, believing that God's going to do it. How can we do that, preacher? By being spiritual in our life, knowing we're born again, by believing this book right here, laying hold of the promises of God, and then behaving like God wants to behave by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and then letting God lead us by his Spirit and directing us in our lives. We can have that. Then said meekness. By the way, meekness is not weakness. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. That, Jesus had all power. He created everything. He has all power. Yet he said, I'm meek. That meekness means don't think too much of yourself. Just go on and live your life humbly before God. The Bible said Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth at his day. Wonder what God would say about us. Then that word temperance. We know it means a manner of living. And so that goes back to the living, behaving ourselves and living for God. That's the result. This is a fruit. This is what God expects out of our lives. If the first four are true, these fruit will prevail in our lives. They will be there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. I pray, God, you'd help us remember about the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. I pray you'd help us remember the meekness and temperance and all these things that you've mentioned to us as a fruit. But help us examine ourselves. Make sure that we know we've been born by the Spirit of God. Make sure that we believe the Spirit's book. Claim this precious promise of the Word of God. You said if anybody would come and confess Jesus with their mouth, believe in their heart, you said you'd save them. We believe that. And I pray tonight, God, for those that's unsaved in this house, that the Holy Spirit would do a convicting work and draw them by your power. Then, Father, that we would examine ourselves and see how we're doing following your beseeching as you lead and guide. Holy Spirit, are we obeying him? Lord, help us examine ourselves. And Father, help us respond to that as we ought to respond to it. And then, Lord, this fruit will prevail. I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, some way I believe there's somebody here special that you're speaking to that needs to get right with you. And I pray tonight, whether it be an unsaved or a person that's saved and they realize they need to let you have your way in their hearts. Lord, I'm thinking right now that special person went out this morning and asked me to pray for them. Lord, the Holy Ghost doing a work. I pray you'd help them. I pray, Father, tonight you'd manifest that truth in their life. They'd let you have your way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.